Like every country, Spain has had its share of natural disasters and weather emergencies, though what affects us here may not be the same as in other places. Every country is different. For example, earthquakes are rare and generally tremble on a small scale, though there have been major ones over the centuries. I think there was a big one in the early 19th century. I'm going to have to do a little research on that and tell you about that on a different day. Volcanoes, however, do exist in the Canary Islands especially. For example, I was going to say El Hierro. No, it was La Palma a few years ago. I think it was in 2021. That was the latest eruption. It went on for about 80 to 90 days. So the Canaries, on occasion, suffer from volcanic activity. They're volcanic islands, so that would follow. In fact, I did a podcast on that many years ago when it happened. Hurricanes are a non-factor here. We don't get hit by hurricanes. Although every once in a while, the very last gasp of a hurricane will reach the coast of Spain and inland, and you'll notice some rain and even some gustiness, but that's pretty rare. In terms of extreme weather, temperatures can be extreme, not so much in terms of cold, although you do have high mountains and you can get pretty cold in the winter. Probably nothing compared to what you would find in other countries. The heat is a bigger deal here. The heat is typical in the summer. This year is a lot hotter than usual. But even so, this is not unusual in terms of months of sunny days and warm weather. Here, the weather now is very warm, a little bit warmer than usual, but that concept is not too bad. The thing is, it just goes on and on, and if you're not used to it, it can drain you quite a bit. This heat and the lack of rain, because the big issue is it stopped raining very early this spring, has led to wildfires. Now, wildfires are another feature of Spanish natural disasters. As long as I can remember, there have been wildfires in Spain. Some years are worse than others, but the last few years have been particularly bad, the last 10 years or so. And there are a lot of factors that are probably leading to that. I'll talk about that on a different podcast. I'm going to wait a little bit because it's still sort of early in the wildfire season. Maybe I'll do one. We're getting close to the end of July, so maybe I'll do a July update or summary. Anyway, that's one thing. Another thing could be the opposite, heavy rain and flash flooding. That's surprisingly probably one of the most consistently damaging and life-threatening phenomenon in this country. It has, on occasion, caused a great deal of life. The horrible flooding in the region of Valencia in 2024, I think it was October 2024, resulted in the death of 238 people. These are caused by these upper-level lows that sort of isolate themselves, and they're known as, in Spanish, danas, D-A-N-A-S, or la gota fría. And it's just this massive amounts of rain that falls in a very short period of time, and often in regions where the runoff is perilous because the ground just doesn't absorb that much rain. It would in any way, a lot of places, but especially in the eastern part of Spain and in the Balearic Islands. It's so consistently dry there. The earth there is not good at absorbing rainwater. So these streets and these dry riverbeds just turn into massive, dangerous rivers. And even though there are alarm systems, they don't always work well. And so it can be terrible. And those are some of the weather issues that you can have in Spain, or in the natural disaster issues. The other day I was watching a video about a terrible tornado, which hammered a town in Missouri. The name of the town was Joplin. And that happened, I think, in 2011. It was a terrible, terrible tornado, and it went right through the town. And it was an utter disaster. I've never lived through a tornado, so I'm speaking from what I've seen and viewed and learned about. But the impact of a massive tornado is hard to fathom if you've never seen one or lived in a country where they've existed. In Spain, they aren't that common, and yet they are a little bit more common than you'd think. And I say that because a lot of people would never associate tornadoes with Spain, and yet some reports say that somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 30 tornadoes touch down a year in Spain. Most of these are not very powerful ones and just don't get the news or the attention that you'd think. But anyway, in history, there have been records of tornadoes affecting the population, and probably the most famous one affected Madrid. And this happened on May 12th, 1886. It was evening time, and this is when Madrid experienced one of the most destructive weather disasters in its history, when this violent tornado swept through the southern districts and then into the center and to the east. It just basically went through the city. As I said, although tornadoes are uncommon, they can happen, and this one was particularly deadly. It naturally caught everyone off guard and apparently claimed around 47 lives and injured hundreds more, probably thousands, I'm sure. And the day had begun peacefully with warm weather, spring weather, and clear skies. It was spring, it was May. That tends to be the big time for tornadoes anywhere, when you have that mix of hot and cold weather, which creates that spinning action. And by the late afternoon, atmospheric conditions changed rapidly as a line of severe thunderstorms developed south of Madrid and came rolling in. Modern meteorologists believe these storms evolved into what you call a supercell, which is that rotating thunderstorm that on occasion is capable of producing large hail, violent winds, and even tornadoes. These storms are, as we know, are common in the United States and are fairly rare in central Spain. Not so much the wind and the hail, but the tornadoes. But anyway, it was about almost 7 o'clock, I think 6:45, 7 o'clock in the evening, and a tornado touched down near Carabanchel Alto. This is a neighborhood which to this day is sort of on the outskirts of Madrid. It's on the western edge of Madrid, even though Madrid is expanding like most big cities. It's still sort of that western edge of the city. Back then it was its own township and outside of Madrid. Contemporary accounts by this scientist named Augusto Arthemis, he was a meteorologist, suggest that there were two separate tornadoes that actually may have formed during the storm, only minutes apart. Or they may have joined and moved forward, but they are often described collectively as a single event. So they're not sure if there was one or two. At the time, scientists and journalists usually referred to this tornado as a cyclone or a hurricane, and that's simply because these events were so rare that the word tornado was not really understood or used in Spain, even though it comes from Spanish, tornar. Back then, they called it a cyclone and a hurricane, and I've heard that. I remember years ago, they would mix the terms almost interchangeably, even though they weren't the same at all. Anyway, this tornado traveled from southwest to northeast, and it cut this path several kilometers long through Madrid and its suburbs. And as I said, it started in Carabanchel, and then it moved eastwards towards the Pradera de San Isidro, which is near the river. I used to live right next to that Pradera, that park. And over to the Puerta de Toledo, the Toledo Gate, and then over to the Atocha area. That's where there's a major train station today. And then the Royal Botanical Garden went through there. And just beyond that is the Retiro Park, which is Madrid's main park today. And then after that, it moved eastwards to the east of the city and finally weakened somewhere near what we call is Ventas. Ventas is in Madrid, and it's also where the famous bull ring is. Spain and Madrid's important bull ring is called Las Ventas. And that's where it disappeared. At that time, it was just on the outskirts of the city. But from beginning to end, we are talking about a tornado that followed a track of some 12 to 15 kilometers, which is a very big and long tornado. The destruction was extraordinary. Winds are estimated to be somewhere around 220 to 260 kilometers per hour, which is the equivalent of an F3 tornado on the Fujita scale. That's a serious tornado. Starting F3, we're talking about destructive tornadoes, really destructive ones. Obviously, there are two levels that are higher, F4 and F5, but an F3 is a serious tornado, especially in an area which is not used to them. It tore roofs from buildings, collapsed walls, uprooted hundreds. I wouldn't be surprised if it was in thousands of trees, overturned horse-drawn carts, and even derailed and overturned a streetcar carrying passengers. As I said, the estimates are just in the Botanical Garden in Retiro Park alone are somewhere about 400 trees being destroyed. I'm not surprised by that. It could have been more. And certainly overall it would have been. And many of the people who died did so because they looked for shelter inside poorly constructed buildings, which naturally were not able to withstand a tornado of that scale, of that size, of that power. I mean, when you see something like that coming, you basically try to hide behind anything and are unaware that this is something that is going to not be sufficient to save your life. The hospitals quickly became overwhelmed with injured residents while soldiers, firefighters, and volunteers worked through the night and obviously through the next few days to clear the rubble and rescue survivors. It caused extensive damage to notable landmarks, the gardens in the Palacio de Vista Alegre, which is in Carabanchel, the Royal Botanical Garden, as I mentioned, there was an observatory next to it that was damaged, the Casón de Buen Retiro, which was the ballroom of the former palace that used to be next to the Retiro Park, and then obviously all the neighborhoods that the tornado went through. It was terrible. Contemporary newspapers published dramatic engravings showing enormous trees uprooted, buildings reduced to ruins, and streets filled with wreckage. I mean, this must have been a shocking experience. It would be for anyone, but much more so for a population which had no real collective memory of these things happening, and just to see a storm like that go roaring through, and the way these storms just basically obliterate whatever they come in contact with, it must have just, as I said, been a huge shock. In the weeks following the catastrophe, scientists carefully examined the damage. The scientist I was telling you about, Augusto Artemis, who later became the first director of Spain's National Meteorological Service, produced one of the earliest detailed scientific analyses of the storm, a report. His work, together with later historical research, has allowed modern weather experts to reconstruct the tornado's path and estimate its intensity. So they were sort of piece all this information together and come up with a modern estimate of how bad this storm was. There was this comprehensive study published by the periodical Atmospheric Research in 2007, and it concluded that the Madrid tornado of 1886 was indeed a genuine tornado rather than a cyclone, and one of the worst in recorded history. The disaster also left a mark on Spanish culture. It was later mentioned in the novel called Misericordia, which translates as compassion, and it helped to preserve the memory of an event that gradually faded from popular awareness. Today, many Madrileños, people from Madrid, many Spaniards, let alone foreigners, are unaware that their city once suffered such a devastating tornado. Despite it being one of Europe's most significant urban tornadoes of the 19th century, and I'm willing to bet of all time. So the Madrid tornado serves as a reminder that these severe convective storms have long been a part of the Iberian Peninsula's climate, and that even major European cities are not immune to these rare but destructive weather events. And that'll be all for our podcast brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. We hope you've enjoyed it. We really enjoyed sharing this story with you. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, Spanish culture, Spanish food, Spanish everything. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. You can also check us out at our YouTube channel and support us by subscribing. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.